It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
96.5 The Fan? Just me today. Just me and Drew, who had to leave the show 30 minutes early yesterday due to illness, has made it back for his Friday shift.
Yeah, I was not feeling good yesterday.
You all right?
I was.
You left in a hurry. You looked pale.
That's what Speck told me. I did not feel good yesterday, and it hit quickly. You guys were in the middle of talking to Charch, and I was like, am I going to be able to make it through the rest of this hour?
Just decided to go, huh?
I was focused. I sat down and I was like, I got to make it through. I got to make it through. I have to.
You made it up to the final 30 minutes of the show. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I had to go. I do feel much better than now, though. I think I've drank a lot of water. Let's just say that, and I feel a little bit better. So
I assume we'll get the video stream up here in just a little bit. So
yeah,
for those who want to watch, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, over at the Fan 965. If you'd like to like, subscribe, view any of the things kind of in between. We'll have Matt Verderam coming up at 10:30, Joshua Briscoe at 11, and then the fan club, Harold Kuntz from Fox 4 will join us coming up at 1 o'clock. So plenty of stuff to get to today, even though it's just me and Drew. You know, it's fine. We can have a little one-on-one conversation. Been a little while since I just sat down here, just me and you. A little fireside chat between the show where we can talk about the things that are related to the Chiefs, Royals, and et cetera. So if you want, phone lines are open today, 913-586-7965. But let's start with what ended up being pretty big news yesterday for the Chiefs. And what's funny is nobody was like underplaying it, I would say, either. Yesterday was announced that, seemingly out of nowhere, Harrison Butker was going to need surgery on his knee. As a result of that surgery on the knee, Harrison Butker was going to miss time on the IR for the next 4 weeks. And then they had to go out and find, you know, one other kicker off of the street to come in here and do the job. That is Spencer Schrader. This is a massive deal. The special teams unit is part of the reason teams like the Chiefs have gone undefeated. Is it as big as losing your number one wide receiver, your number two wide receiver, your number one running back, your number two corner, or any of the other injuries the Chiefs have suffered from this year? It is not. It does not compare to those level of injuries. To pretend like it won't have any effect, though, that would be foolish. Their ability to kick a ball from anywhere on the field at any time, good for 3 points, has been a function of their offense. It's part of the way they've designed the way they're going to play as a team. So Harrison Butker missing time is a big deal, especially because it's up against Buffalo, the single biggest game of the regular season. But one part I do not understand, as we can talk more about Harrison Butker and what that loss means, one thing I will not understand is the idea that Schrader can't do anything. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, like the prevailing sentiment, like, well, I wouldn't trust him to kick a 45-yarder to win it. Go for every fourth down. Those seems to be the thoughts I see coming out of social media a lot. Go for every fourth down. I don't trust him to handle those responsibilities. You know, we're never going to be sure if he makes a kick. I just want to remind people very quickly that Harrison Butker was off the street. Harrison Butker was available on the Panthers practice squad. He was available to any team in the entire NFL to pick up. So if that's going to be the case, well, then I'm not going to worry about it. Like, I'm not going to overly panic and say that there's no way that Harrison Butker can't get the job done. That's all that matters, is that whether or not he, you know, can he get the job done? And I would tell you, typically, can Schrader get the job done? The answer is, yeah, probably. Look, do I want him kicking a 55-yard field goal to win the game when it's 21-20 in the fourth quarter with 10 seconds left to go? I do not.
You're going
to
be sweating.
Yeah. Yeah, that bet, you know, like 55. I mean, probably inside of, what, 45? What do you think? Inside of 45 is a moment of panic?
I think, yeah, for sure. I don't know. Like
outside of 45, sorry, but.
If it's a, even if it's like a 40-yard field goal, I don't know what the wind conditions are going to be like in Buffalo, but if it's a 40-yard field goal and it's 21-20, Chiefs are down, and they need this kick to keep the undefeated season alive, I think even with the 40-yard, you're just like, all right, he should be good, but you're not as confident for sure.
No. No. But like someone said, Cody, this guy missed half his kicks in college. College? I don't care about that. Like, I understand. Like, I'm not saying the guy's good. I'm not saying he's great, right? I'm not saying they didn't get a downgrade. They obviously got a downgrade. I'm not saying just because Harrison Butker was available on the street, this guy's as good as Harrison Butker. All I'm saying is that kickers are a lot like hockey goalies. All you need them to do fundamentally is to get hot, right? Just get hot. Do you want to know the percentage of kicks? Just out of curiosity here, from the 816. What's your guess, Drew? You got a pretty good idea of what Harrison Butker has done in his NFL career?
Percentage-wise?
What do you think Harrison Butker made in college? The percentage of kicks he made in college?
79.
71%. 71%.
Not great.
So, like, before we start citing college stats for a kicker who was on the street, I will remind you that this guy made 68.3. Harrison Butker made 71.2.
For all we know, this guy's going to make 95% of his kicks instead of 98. Like,
it's 4 weeks.
Harrison does. Yeah.
It's 4 weeks. These are two players. Like, look, Pacheco and Aminihu coming back, bigger than Harrison Butker. The idea that, like, you've lost these other players, bigger than Harrison Butker. Is it nothing? No, of course it's not nothing. Again, they've designed their offense around the idea that they will take the guaranteed 3 points. And for a team that has played essentially every single game this year inside a single score, I'm not pretending like the guarantee of those 3 points, the 95% of the kicks he makes, does not have an impact. I think everyone else is just panicking a little too soon if they're like, this is the reason they lose. We're going to go to this Buffalo game. It's going to be 13 seconds remaining, and Schrader's going to be lining it up from 47 yards out, and the Chiefs are going to be trailing 23-24, and all they got to do is make this kick to win, and Schrader sprays it out right, and they lose. I just don't think it's that dramatic. I think almost any kicker you can find to kick for an NFL game is good to make most, if not all, of their extra points in a game, so that doesn't make a tangible difference. And I think just as long as you are effective enough on offense to get it inside of 45 yards, he'll make a large majority of those kicks too. Harrison Butker's only missed two kicks this season. So it's not to say, but he's missed two and they're still undefeated. So Schrader can still miss one and not necessarily cost him a game. But it did feel like it was out of nowhere. And that part is always like, eh. And I hate when they're like, 3 to 4 weeks, he'll be fine. Because if you followed the Chiefs long enough, I can assure you one thing. Their history of telling the truth on injury is not true.
Yeah.
Okay? It is not accurate. I'll fall short. They lie to you. Okay? Whatever the Chiefs tell you about, like, he's week to week, he's day to day, he could be back, they're not telling you the whole truth. They are intentionally on, you know, like, leading you astray because they don't want to give you too much information or more information than you need or all the things in between. They're just telling you what they think they got to tell you to move on with that. Someone said Jake Elliott would like a word. He missed a couple of kicks last night, cost him the game. I'm not saying kickers have never cost somebody a game. The other part about this is I can't get overly worried about an injury that I think takes a month. Like, okay. Like, yeah, for a month. There's some kicks that could cost them a game. The Chiefs don't have to go undefeated to be the number one seed. It'd be cool if they went undefeated. But at least on this end, I got to figure out which way to go on it. And so, you know, like, I'm not going to send myself into panic.
I think that, you know, you bringing that up, Cody, is the angle where maybe it's just this game or whatever game it is. Say they lose a game and it just so happens to be because of Schrader. Let's say Schrader goes 3-for-4 on Sunday and the one that he misses happens to be the one that's the game winner. It's not like he kicked bad. He just missed the game-winning field goal. The undefeated season is done, but it's not like, to your point, the season is over. It's not like it's a playoff game and he botched the kick. It's a regular season game, and they should be able to, you know, handle business without hopefully needing him to kick a game-winning kick the next 3-4 games until Harrison Butker can come back.
I just need Spencer Strader to make the regular kicks. I know that sounds silly or sounds simplified. I just need him to make the regular kicks. Now, I'll say, the one thing that scares me a little bit is if you go into this game and you view the game as I think you should, this is essentially a division game. This is exactly how it's going to look. They have now faced this team coming up on Sunday 8 times in 5 years. That's a division game. That's a anything can happen game. The one thing we acknowledge and we understand about division games pretty clearly is that anything can happen. You can lose games to the Raiders on Christmas Day, or you can lose to the Broncos. You can lose these games because they know you better than other opponents. Weird things seem to happen more consistently in those games. And then we're all in this weirdo guessing game of what does it look like if you're in a game where it's unpredictable? And that's where I think it's there. Because truthfully, my opinion of either team does not change based on the result of this game. I'm not worried about the change based on the result of this game. They lose to the Buffalo Bills. Do I think that they can't win the Super Bowl? No.
No, yeah.
Do I think that they, you know, won't win the division? No. Do I think they might miss out on the number one seed? No. All of those things are still in play if they lose this game. If the Bills lose, do I think they're not one of the three best teams in the AFC? No. Do I not think they can win? No. All the things that are still in play. The only opinion that will change out of this game is that the Chiefs are now the number one seed going into the playoffs, and that story is told. Like, which is crazy for week 11 of an NFL season, but that's it. That's the only decision I will make based on the results of this game. Outside of that, I just treat this like a divisional game, which means weird stuff happens. Teams can look really bad or worse at things they typically do or look really good, or there could be more turnovers or more penalties or creative play calling that you don't see in these other ones. These two teams face each other too often to not treat it like that. It is, by all accounts, a division game.
We were talking before the show, I forget the number that you said, but this is the fifth time they played, or the eighth time they played in the last 5 years. Yeah. Is it the most time, the most that any non-division? Is that what it was, the stat that you gave?
There are only two other teams in the last, there's only one other team in the last like 50 years who's played this often, and it was the Patriots and Colts.
Yeah, it's
that's it. You have to essentially both be division winners every year, in the same conference every year, and find each other in the playoffs most years.
Yeah, it's amazing how they've been able to play each other as much as they have. I saw a promo last night that CBS was doing, and it was they're playing one once again. Here we go, and it's really become that where it's like an annual tradition or a two-time a year tradition to play or to have this game between the Chiefs and the Bills. Where I think to your point, Cody, they know each other so well now where there's some different players in the mix. You know, there's some different guys in there, but for the most part, they know each other really, really, really well. And it's not a matter of them having already played this year because they haven't. If they play in the playoffs, they're already going to know each other well from playing this year, but they always seem to match up against each other. And it always seems to be also for a big game that it's later on in the year. I know we've talked about before, like the Bengals and then playing later on in the season.
Yeah,
I always remember. I think the Bills Chiefs games are always just the same, where it's always the back half of the season. The teams are in better form than they are in the beginning, and it's just a preview for the playoff matchup that's inevitably going to happen.
Well, the truth is that there's only a single blowout in these games too. Like, I think that that's kind of important to know. The Bills have gotten the Chiefs a couple of times where, like, they looked like the better team, especially in the early going. But their first matchup between, like, let's say 2020, the first time these two teams faced each other with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs lost 26, or I'm sorry, the Bills lost 26-17. Okay. Then the Bills handled Kansas City in a matchup that, in the playoffs, the Chiefs kind of handled them, but it was late. Then, since that moment, in the last 2 years, since 2022, this would be the now four times they faced each other. Chiefs won in overtime, right? You're like, okay, dangerously close. Bills won by four. Bills won by three. Chiefs won by three. Like, I mean, that's, it started to turn into those Cincinnati Bengals games where the thing is so close that you almost can't predict this. I will say, I don't feel like this game is getting the national hype I thought it deserved. Like, it may be because, like, last night's game was a standalone. Watching the Washington and Eagles game last night, we were watching Commanders and Eagles. Like, they built that thing up for first place in the NFC East. Dun, dun, dun. And obviously the Eagles, that game was really close for a while until Saquon Barkley absolutely took over in the late portion of that game. But they hyped that one up all week. I think it's a little bit of cheese fatigue, Drew. I think there's a point where the amount of excitement there should be for a game, for two teams that could be separated by one game after this if the Bills win, for two teams who have faced each other in a lot of very important AFC games, it doesn't feel like it's got the same kind of buzz I would expect at a game of this magnitude. In Kansas City, sure. In Buffalo, sure. And look, maybe some of that is because they're like, we'll see you in the playoffs, and you're tired of this. I think someone's just tired of the Chiefs. I don't think it's tired of the Bills. I think if this game were Bills-Ravens, you would have seen more nationally about it somehow. But people are like, man, people don't want to hear us talk about Chiefs again. They don't want to hear us bring them up again. And in addition to being the back-to-back Super Bowl champion, now they're 9-0. I think there's a real Chiefs fatigue thing nationally.
Oh, yeah, I think so. From even like the national commentary, like, it's not even about the like the games necessarily themselves you're hearing. You know, it's always about who can be the team to beat the Chiefs? Who can be the team to knock off? You can tell, like, the conversation is, we want the Chiefs to be kind of out of the picture. We need somebody else to talk about. So please, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Houston, anybody else, please, can you just enter the conversation a little bit more where we don't have to see the Chiefs all of the time?
The national narrative will be pretty simple here. If the Bills beat the Chiefs, it'll be like, they've been frauds this whole time.
Yeah,
we knew that they were frauds. They've been exposed. They were never going to win all these games. They were the worst 9-0 team in NFL history. Those are the things they'll say about your team if they win. If they lose. If they win, what do you have left? What are you going to point to me? Point differential? Patrick Mahomes' touchdown to interception ratio? If we get to that point, I won't care. You will not be able to swing me one way or the other into thinking I should be. If they win, I don't care how they win. I don't care if it's on a blocked field goal for the second straight time. I don't care if it's on a blocked punt. I don't care if it's on a Patrick Mahomes has a ball tipped in the air, an offensive lineman catch it, and Creed Humphrey runs for 60 yards and a touchdown on the final play of the game. I don't care how they win. If they win, you have no evidence to try and complain, be like, well, it's not true, or it's a false narrative, or you can't be. No, I won't care at that point.
I think
none of that will matter to me.
Somebody on the text lines from the 785 says it's got plenty of buzz. CBS has pushed it hard. I think that the game's been pushed hard, but in terms of the conversation, I think the Chiefs have become stale to a lot of national conversation. Like they don't want to talk about the Chiefs, because it's a topic that they're tired of talking about. And to your point, Cody, I think if the Chiefs win, I don't know if there's anything else that you can say in regards to their frauds. Because when is that going to show up? They don't have the kicker. They don't have the number one or two wide receiver. They haven't had the number one running back in forever. They've been decimated with injuries more this year than they have in previous years. There's so many different conversations around this team that are, They shouldn't be undefeated, but they are undefeated. And I think at some point, they're not a fake undefeated, like Mike Renner said a couple weeks ago.
Like, they're undefeated. They are doing this. Like, I don't know why I don't feel like this has ever been emphasized enough. They are doing this without their number one wide receiver, their number two wide receiver, their number two cornerback.
Awful left tackle play.
Their number two defensive end, bad left tackle play, their number one running back, their number, like, how many people down the list do I have to go to point out that they are doing this without, and they are, you know, able to still be 9-0. I'm thrilled about this game because I think it tells a lot about where the Chiefs are. If it's close and they lose, it tells you they can fight with anybody, doesn't matter who they're missing. If they're close and they win, same thing, but now they're the number one seed. The only thing that would even make me think about coming in here different on this on Monday morning is if they just got their teeth kicked in by Buffalo. And even then, we're not going to get any answers on the Chiefs over the next 2 weeks because the next two opponents are the Carolina Panthers and the Las Vegas Raiders. So the only answer you'd get is if it's really falling apart.
Yeah.
And they lose to one of those two scrubs. Those are the two teams currently picking like second and fifth in the NFL draft. They stink. They're not just bad. They're awful. Like, you're going to be able to like cruise into the Thanksgiving holiday, not even worried about what to do if the Chiefs end up winning this game. I just think it's a division game, which means anything can happen. And we're having those conversations from the 816. What was that 12-0 Steelers team a few years ago? Big Ben's last run? That was a fake undefeated team. 100% agree. But the other part about it, because we all didn't believe it. So I understand. This happens in the NFL sometimes. That year, we universally agreed as a society. We all got together. We held a quorum. Every single city in NFL America got together and we said, yeah, right. Right? We all disbelieved. Not a single person on the planet outside of Pittsburgh was buying into that 12-0 Steelers team. What I don't understand about that as it relates to the Chiefs this year is they're the back-to-back Super Bowl champion. Right?
Yep.
Then tell me a world in which that would make them hard to believe as a winner. Like, that Steelers team hadn't accomplished something the year before.
And the quarterback's not old and, you know, injured or can't move in the pocket. Because if I remember right, that team, Ben Roethlisberger, was like a statue.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. He was terrible. He was old. They were old. They were winning in ways that made no sense to win. Like, I get it. Like, part of me doesn't want to believe into the Steelers this year. But it's,
even different now. This Steelers team is more of a 7-2. Is a convincing 7-2 compared to that Steelers team that was not a convincing 12-0 or whatever the case was.
Yeah, I don't know. It just looks different. And sometimes I understand because there's fans that just don't want to believe in him, but that's still not the case. Now, there is one player that I would say I think their production has been overhyped, while I still think that they've done the job, if that makes sense. Kareem Hunt's value to the organization has been big because otherwise they would have had to go to Carson Steele. But his production has been overinflated. Can we admit that? Does that make me a bad person or a bad fan?
Overinflated how? Like,
he's averaging 3.7 yards a carry.
Okay.
He is bottom five in the NFL in yards expected over average. He's what he is good at right now. He's a volume shooter. They exist in the NBA, and I know there aren't a lot of NBA fans in Kansas City, but it's like the guy who's like, oh, wow. Dude put up 38 tonight. You're like, wow, impressive. How many shots was that? And like 74. You're like, that's too many shots.
Yeah.
That's too many shots. Cool, he got 38. Why the hell did he put up so many shots? That's like way too many to get 38 points. That's what it feels like. He's a volume shooter. Kareem Hunt does the job because he is healthy, he is available, and he is available to take 25 carries a game, catch the ball two times a game, and just wear himself into the ground. The talent difference between Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt is still significant.
Oh, yeah.
They are getting a big upgrade when Isaiah Pacheco comes back. All I'm saying is that his production's been a little overstated. It's all volume. It's all just number of carries. It's Jerome Bettis in those last few years of the Steelers. He's averaging less than 4 yards a carry, and all the advanced metrics would suggest, you know, he's just doing that out of grit borderline.
I think the point, so the way that I look at it is, I think from a statistical nature, I think, yes, it is probably overhyped, a little bit overstated how, quote-unquote, good Kareem Hunt has been. I do think, though, for the sake of putting them in situations where they don't have 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-10, you run the ball twice with Kareem Hunt, he gets you 3 yards both times, you're at a 3rd-and-4, you're going to get the 3rd-and-4 because the Chiefs have been great on 3rd-down. I think his usage is almost in part, and his effectiveness is helping the Chiefs have short 3rd-and-whatever to gain. I think that's where his effectiveness, I don't know if that's something that's just in the weeds that hasn't been recognized, but to me, that's where Kareem Hunt has been very effective for the Chiefs offenses. He's not gonna have the 20-yard run. He's not even gonna give you a 10-yard run that often.
He had a 13-yard one. It was his longest one in like 2 years or something.
Yeah. He's not gonna give you that long run that Pacheco can where he just lowers his head and he just goes nuts. He's gonna get you to 3rd-and-4 to 3rd-and-5, and then you're gonna let Patrick Mahomes do his thing. Yeah. Throw the bubble route to Xavier Worthy, and he's gonna get the first. Throw the out route to DeAndre Hopkins, or you're gonna throw the curl to Travis Kelce for 5 yards, and you're gonna get the first down and keep the chains going.
What you're describing is exactly how their offense technically rates out on, which is they are statistically like the second or third worst offense in the NFL in first and second down. Like they're not good. They're one of the they are the most efficient offense on third down by a lot. Now, I think that's because, and this is like Casey Kurt over on the text line, 913-586-7965 from the 785, said, I do think Kareem Hunt's been a big upgrade in the red zone. I think what you're describing true, Drew, is the thing I like the most about Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt will get you three. He's not getting stopped for -1, -1, -0. He'll hit the hole as fast as he used to? No, probably not. Yeah. Will he get there? Will he slither and move and slide and find an end zone? All of those things like are in existence pretty consistently. But it's like, do I watch the explosiveness and be like, look at Kareem Hunt move? No. I think if you put Kareem Hunt's skill set as in his vision for the field back in his body from 5 years ago, he'd be the same guy you saw in Kansas City 5 years ago. One of the best running backs in the entire NFL. Honest to God, it's impressive he's still productive at 29 years old in the NFL because most running backs aren't, even if it is a few things about that. And from the 816, why are we complaining about Kareem? Nothing. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying his stats have been a bit overstated and we're getting ready to get a big upgrade in Isaiah Pacheco next week. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I think that Isaiah Pacheco...
He's done the job. I just think his production's been overstated.
When Pacheco comes back, do you think it's more of a 50-50 split? Do you think it's Kareem 70-30 just to get Pacheco back? And then eventually it's going to get to that point where it's 70-30 Pacheco. Do you think that they're going to give Isaiah that run right away? Or do you think that they're just going to try to ease him in a little bit more after the leg? Since it was a leg injury,
man.
Maybe a little bit more?
This is part of the way I think they'll just put him in right away. I actually think the Chiefs slow play injuries because they wait until they're full go. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
I think Pacheco could play this week at a 50-50 split or 40-60 split in favor of Kareem Hunt, but they wait the extra week so it can be 70-30 when we get there.
Mm.
Honest to God, that's what I think that they do. When we come back here on Cody and Gold, I'm going to tell you more about some of the news yesterday out of the Chiefs as it relates to a survey they're going to do on the stadium and why I think that's embarrassing that it took this long. But also, Matt Verderam over at SI. He's going to join us next to talk some...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free.
all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
More things, Chiefs. Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Cody Tapp with you. All the way up till 2 o'clock. Fan Club coming up at 1, if I don't start drinking sooner. Drew, today, I did not bring you a separate, like, canned, like, seltzery thing because I didn't know how you'd be feeling.
That's fine.
I brought two things. So I brought pre-mixed old fashions, of which I could pour you a small one. But I am dead serious. I also brought you a Sprite, you know?
I'll take both.
Take care of that stomach in case you aren't feeling
too
good.
I will take both.
So, you know, that'll at least get us somewhere. But joining us now here on 96.5 The Fan, our friend Matt Verderam over at Sports Illustrated, where he covers all things NFL. Matt, first things first, I don't think there's enough buzz on this Chiefs-Bills game. I feel like it must be, I think there might be a little bit of a Chiefs fatigue. You think so?
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. NFL on CBS is treating it like college game day. They're going to be up there for the game.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's national. It's literally on every television in America. So, I would say to your point, I think enough people maybe have realized that, like, this game's not just some full blown referendum on either one of these teams. Like,
yes,
whoever loses this game, not one serious person is going to sit there and go, well, that's it then. That team can't win in January. Like, and whoever wins, it doesn't mean that they're just some unbelievable, overwhelming, prohibitive favorite. To me, the only thing in this game that could really come out of it, if the Chiefs win, they're essentially the number one seed.
Yep.
And then the conversation, as you guys well know, nationally, locally, everywhere, is going to turn to, can they go undefeated? That would be to me, if the Chiefs win, that is the dominant storyline coming out of the game.
Well, because the problem is, and the reason why that'll be the biggest storyline is, they will be the number one seed. I mean, mathematically, yes, it would almost be impossible unless you think the Steelers are winning 15 games.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the case, because all of us, if they beat the Bills, are giving them at least two straight wins against the Panthers and Raiders. So, like, we're already in our heads like, well, they're 12-0. I mean, so what's five more games, right?
Yeah, and I think, look, if you really run down their schedule going forward, and like, they got to get through the Bills game, they got to win that game, but if you look at their schedule, like you said, Panthers, Raiders on Black Friday, and then they have the Chargers on a Sunday night at home, which is not an easy game. I think most people would expect them to win, but
yeah,
it's not easy. Then they go play the Browns, who are an atrocity. And then you come home on December 21st, a Saturday, against Houston, and that game, like, quite frankly, looks easier by the week. Houston has not played well for a huge stretch of time. Then you go to Pittsburgh on Christmas. That might be the game. That might be the game that you look at and go, the Steelers might be playing for their lives or for the division. It's a short week. It's on the road. The Steelers can take advantage of the Chiefs' tackle issues. Like, maybe that's the game. I keep thinking of a scenario like, what if the Chiefs go to Pittsburgh at 15-0, but obviously at that point they have everything wrapped up. Would they sit all their players on Christmas Day on the NFL's Netflix premiere and just say, we don't care, enjoy the ratings, have fun, and play Carson Wentz? I don't think so, but that would be incredible.
So part of me thinks no, but then also I go back to that final game of the season last year where Travis Kelce sits. And I'll be honest, I think the three-peat is more important to this team than the undefeated. It's like, had they not won the Super Bowl the year before, I think everyone plays. But because they've won two Super Bowls in a row, Matt, in a lot of ways, that makes me more convinced they'll, like, pull in the reins a little bit.
I've gone back and forth on this. So, look, maybe it's a moot point. Maybe they lose in Buffalo, and then,
we don't have to think about it, yeah.
Right, nobody cares anymore. But there's a part of me, the overriding part of me says, if they get to 14-0, 15-0, I think guys like Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones are going to be like, look, we could go undefeated and three-peat, and we are the greatest team of all time, and nobody can argue it. Like, that is such an unbelievable combination. Like, I think there'd be a part of them, if Andy decided to yank the starters, I don't think they'd get, I don't think there'd be like a mutiny. Like, I think they'd understand it. I also think there'd be a part of them that would be like, I can't believe this is going to end like this. So I don't know. But then, look, there are other fascinating parts. Somebody who's a member of mine on my podcast sent a question I thought was really interesting. Like, let's say they're not Let's say they're 16-0 and they go to Denver, and if Denver wins that game, they're in the playoffs, and the Bengals aren't. Like, do the Chiefs just lay down in that game to keep the Bengals out of the play? There's just so many scenarios, but obviously they got to get past Buffalo first, and this is by far the hardest game left on this schedule.
How big of it? So over the next four games, do you think that they lose a game because Harrison Butker's out?
They could maybe the Buffalo game. I don't think any of the other games. There's no way they're losing. If they lose to Carolina or the Raiders, it's not because they didn't have a kicker.
Yeah.
It's because of a catastrophic meltdown. The Chargers game, maybe I actually have a lot of respect for them. They can't score. I just don't think that game. The Chargers, if you look at the six teams they've beaten this year, they're like the six worst teams in football.
They play like a Big Ten basketball team, man. I hate watching their games.
Yeah, and it's if you look at the Chiefs against the Chargers, and you're like, if the Chiefs get to 20, this is over. I just don't see any world where the Chiefs are going to lose that game if they score 20 points. I think the game would be this week where, these games are always tight. They're always it could come down to the Chiefs driving last minute down two, and they got to kick a 48-yard field goal to win it. This would be the game. If they get past this game, no, I don't think the next 3 weeks afterwards. If they lost, to me, it's because they just didn't play well. It's not because they didn't have Harrison Butker.
Spent a lot of time talking about the Chiefs injuries, and we can spend a little bit more time on that in just a minute. But the Bills, it reports, Sean McDermott just talked. He says Dalton Kincaid will be out against the Chiefs this Sunday. Amari Cooper will be listed as questionable. We know they already ruled out Keon Coleman, right. Especially because the Chiefs had tied in. Dalton Kincaid missing for this game feels significant.
It's very significant. If you go back and watch the film of the divisional game, the Chiefs doubled Dalton Kincaid almost in target. But they were more concerned about him than they were about Diggs. Now, part of that was they had Snead and McDuffie, and they could just feel like they'd go one-on-one. With Kincaid out and Coleman out, my guess is in this game you're going to see McDuffie on secure the entire game. They're just going to try to take him out of the equation. And then I think you're probably going to get all those doubles on Cooper. Because the rest of the offense, really, they throw to the back sometimes, but Cook, while he's a very good player, he's not an overly dynamic receiver. I don't think they're going to win the game because of Cook. Although I will note, Cook, the last time these two teams played in the regular season, had 80-some-odd yards receiving.
Yeah.
So that is a note. I expect the Chiefs to double Cooper on third down, play man-to-man with McDuffie and Shakir. There is a world where maybe they play Connor inside on Shakir, and they put McDuffie on Cooper. And they just say, look, if Shakir has six catches for 60 yards, we don't care. He's not going to beat us that way. But Kincaid not being there, it changes the equation in the sense I think now the Chiefs can deploy players that would have had to worry about Kincaid to stopping the run, to playing James Cook coming out of the back. I think it's a domino effect. So, yeah, him not being there, that offense between him and Coleman, it's a lot less scary than it normally would be.
Look, I'm not trying to nitpick, at least, because I understand people do this with the Chiefs, but I've got six games on the Chiefs' schedule where they beat a team with a winning record. So I guess, what do you think about Buffalo? I look at their record. They beat Arizona. That team has a winning record. Their other wins are against Miami, losing record, Jacksonville, losing record, New York, Tennessee, Seattle, Miami, Indianapolis. There's not a team above 500,
right,
except for one win week one of the season. So what do you actually think of the Bills? Are they good?
I think they're good. I don't think they're great. I've been telling people all week when I've done spots like this, I'm wrong all the time. That's just part of being in this business.
Sure. But
one thing, for whatever reason, every time Allen and Mahomes have played against each other, I've picked this game right. Every time. I don't know why. Whatever it may be, it's just a matchup. I don't know. I think the Chiefs match up really well in this game with Buffalo. I haven't felt like that in past years in the regular season because I've always felt like the Bills are going to run the ball against Kansas City, and it becomes this Allen's downhill and Cook's downhill or, Singletary in previous years. If the Bills can't run the ball in this game, I feel like they just have a big problem, especially now with Kincaid out. I just don't see them being able to – Allen's a freak. I mean, he's going to make three or four throws in the game that you just go, hey, man.
Take
great
your
throw.
Loss. Yeah.
Great play. That's not going to consistently move a team down the field. They've got to be able to stay on schedule and run. And my suspicion is Spagnuolo is going to put seven guys in the box the entire game. And so you're not going to run. You're not going to do it. But to your point, look, I think the Bills, they've proven over the years they're a good team. I don't think they're as good as they've been in years past. I think they're I think they're capable of winning this game. I think if the Chiefs saw them in the playoffs, even in Kansas City, you'd have your antennas up because they could definitely win. But I think if the Chiefs play well on Sunday, they're just better. I think they'll win the game.
Would you be surprised if it's anyone outside of Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens who are in the AFC for the Super Bowl?
Yes, I'd be shocked. I respect Pittsburgh and what they're doing. I just don't think they've got the offense to get there. Houston is kind of that wild card because
they've only scored 9 more points this year than Pittsburgh, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's well, I don't know, Cody, how much you've gotten to watch them. Like, they can't block anybody. I mean, they're brutal. Everybody keeps talking nationally. Like, well, Stroud's kind of having a regression. I'm like, well, yeah, have you seen the games? I mean, nobody can block. You know, and Diggs being out, now it's like you double Collins when he's back, and I don't know what else they can really do. Yes, I think, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't even think Baltimore has that great of a shot to get to the Super Bowl. I think it's probably Kansas City. It could be Buffalo. Baltimore, the problem I have with Baltimore, I've given this stat 1,000 times, Baltimore is giving up more passing yards per game this year than the Chiefs are giving up total yards. I mean, that's impossible.
Yes.
That's impossible. Baltimore is dead last. And like you know it as well as I do. In the playoffs, they're going to face Mahomes and Allen and maybe Burrow and Herbert and Stroud. Like, you're not winning 3 games in a row with that pass defense against those teams. Like, somebody is eventually just going to say, hey, we scored 38. Good luck.
In a lot of ways, both them and the Bengals, Matt, remind me of like the 2018 Chiefs where you're like, well, I'm glad you're putting up a lot of great stats. It's probably because you can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes, like, I one of my favorite stats this year right now is actually about Kansas City. The Chiefs have the least amount of drives of any offense in football. It's not even close. Like, it's 89 drives this year, which is, nobody else has less than like 92 or 93. And yet, the Chiefs are 9th in plays run this season. They just brutally and efficiently kill you. Like, we're going to get 4 yards running the ball every time we run the ball. And we're going to be ultra efficient on third down. And the Ravens are like the polar opposite of that. The Ravens are like, look, we're going to score constantly. But it's because we have to be so unbelievably aggressive because our defense can't do anything. And I just, in the playoffs, that doesn't work. History says you're going to fail. Like, if they play Kansas City, you're not scoring 38 points like Kansas City. You're not. Like, you're going to score, I don't know, 24, maybe.
In a good week, yeah.
And you're not going to win. Like, Mahomes, if they get into a playoff game, let's face it, Mahomes is going to throw for 350 in that game because he's going to be like, look, we need to. We're going to do it. We're going to go 5 wide. We're not even going to try to run the ball. And we're just going to throw and throw and throw and throw. And there's nothing you're doing about it. You can't stop it. And, you know, look, we've also seen this movie with Baltimore for years where they get in there and Lamar, who has been unbelievable. If I had a vote for MVP, he would be my vote. But, like, we've seen playoff Lamar forever, and it doesn't match up with regular season Lamar. I think the problem with them is their best asset is how they run the ball. And in the playoffs, if they get down 17-7, they can't run the ball anymore because they can't stop anyone. So I think it's Kansas City or Buffalo. And obviously, look, the Chiefs are in the pole position.
Quickly on the NFC side, since that game was good for 3 quarters last night, Eagles are for real now, right? I mean, Saquon Barkley just changed the way they look on offense from last year.
Well, their weapons are great. Defensively, you know, Fangio's got them kind of molding to what he wants. And Vic Fangio's been a great coach for, you know, decades in the NFL. The question I have with Philadelphia is very, very simple. Does Sirianni just murder them in a playoff game? Yeah. Like, if I'm Detroit, right? Like, I think everybody can agree Detroit's probably the best team in the NFC. If I'm the Lions, I don't want any part of Philly, because you could just have a game with them where Brown's going nuts and Smith is going nuts and Goddard has 85 yards on 8 catches and they're running all over. Like, the Lions could just have a game against a team like Philly where Philly just scores 40 points. Like, it is absolutely in play. The problem is you could also have a game where Philly has 430 yards of offense and 10 points because Sirianni went for it on 4th and 8 at the 11. Like, that's the fear. But, no, the Eagles, listen, they have talent. Like, they could have days where they wipe the floor with you.
Matt Verderam, you can catch his work over at Sports Illustrated or go subscribe to the Matt Verderam Show over on Patreon. Matt, appreciate the time as always. We'll catch you again soon.
You got it. Anytime.
That game last night, for sure, it's like, I don't know, what was it, Tuesday, Drew? On all 32, I was like, dude, Saquon was the single best offseason signing from any team in the entire NFL. he has fundamentally changed their ability to score. And I get it. They had A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, and they've always had a good offensive line. Like, they've had weapons this whole time. Having Saquon with Jalen Hurts makes them so dangerous.
And even, like, DeAndre Swift has been good for them when he played, but he hasn't been Saquon Barkley. Like a healthy Saquon Barkley, I think we all can agree, is as good as Christian McCaffrey when he's healthy. Like, those are the two best running backs, and I don't know if it's close in terms of what they bring to the table. I mean, he's out here hurling guys backwards. Like, he looks like he's as healthy as he's maybe ever been. I know that for a year or two, it was, man, we just need Saquon to stay healthy and to see what he can do. And that's part of why the Giants got rid of him or let him walk was, hey, you know what? We don't know if he can stay healthy beyond this year or looking into the future, but this is the year that we are seeing as good of a Saquon Barkley as we ever have in it. Yeah, I think your point, Cody, of him just further extending how good that offense can be. You know, you have the tush push as well where you get the ball to third and one or even like second and three, they'll tush push it twice and they'll get a first down. That's just how the offense rolls for Philly. And yeah, they look really good. I think at one point they were, what, 3-2? They've routed off like five in a row now. If I remember, they played the Bengals when they were 4-2 and they beat them.
I think it's five in a row.
I think they've won five in a row. They're hot.
Yeah, that sounds right. Let's talk about the stadium stuff for just a minute. I saw the same thing you guys saw. I know the morning show talked about it a little bit, which is the Royals, we still think, need to make a decision sometime by the end of this year. The Chiefs have made it clear they have a little bit more time on their runway to make a call about what's next. So the news yesterday is that the Chiefs essentially announced that they'll be running a viability study on the potential of renovating Arrowhead Stadium down there at the Truman Sports Complex, building a new stadium down there, building a new stadium on either the Missouri or the Kansas side. The energy feels like either renovate Arrowhead at the Truman Sports or build a new one on the Kansas side, but they have not openly said that. Instead, that's what this viability study will look at. That itself is not interesting to me. The idea that they would do that, that's what you should do. What stands out to me is, no offense, what the hell took so long? This is the whole part of the problem where part of the reason I thought this vote failed in the first place. I'm sorry. Are you just like in no kind of hurry? You kept telling us you were. You went to the polls and said, we got to know now. We got to know if we need a new stadium. I know the lease is up in 7 years, but like, you know, we got to know. Or we'll just be stuck in no man's land. You're just now asking focus groups, just now asking your season ticket members whether they want a renovated Arrowhead or a new one somewhere else. I'm sorry, what the, it's November 15th, months after you failed this vote, 2 years after you put this into place, started these wheels in motion. I thought this was step one stuff. I thought when you start looking into a new stadium, you like start asking those questions so that, you know, you kind of get a feel for what the people want. Here's what I think happened, Drew. I think the Chiefs and Royals thought that everyone was just going to rubber stamp it. We love the Chiefs. They'll tell us yes to anything. We don't have to have a plan or ask them questions or know anything about what they might want or desire or look for in a new stadium or a new stadium site. They're just going to tell us yes, and it's fine. And now they're realizing they have to answer questions? I mean, hell, the Royals' original stadium site that they had voted on that failed so badly just got turned into a data center. Like, I mean, it's not even anything cool. Like, yeah. So, I mean, like, was there no research done? Or did you just think that this was like, nah, we're good? Everyone thought they would just say yes, and that was it.
Yeah, I agree with you in the fact that they didn't. I think they assumed rather than actually went in and gone about their business. And again, the whole thing about the Hunt family and Arrowhead and that being such a significant part of the history, I think maybe it was just an assumption that was, hey, you know what? Parking has always been a problem. We're going to fix the parking stuff and we're going to keep Arrowhead because everybody loves Arrowhead. And it's the Chiefs, to your point, and they've won the back-to-back Super Bowls. It's going to be fine. Obviously, it wasn't. And now they have to look into obviously other options. I do wonder though, if what Clark Hunt said was right, and I believe him in the fact that it's still a possibility that they renovate Arrowhead, what are the different renovations that they're going to pitch?
Yeah,
that
those
might,
last ones didn't
that,
hit.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is it putting in a retractable roof over the top of Arrowhead? Is it the parking thing still? Like, what exactly are they going to do about after the K gets torn down? What are they going to do with that space? I think that's what the question would be for those who love Arrowhead and are interested in it. What are you going to do to make them better upgrades than what you were offering the last time?
Here's the other part. We know how these conversations go. So, like, how much are you going to listen to this feedback anyway? We know for a fact that the human brain does not like change, okay? We tried to build a new airport here. Everyone was against it. Like, no, I don't like it. The old one's fine. I like it. It's the same reason people, like, don't go out and experience new things. I can't convince Alex to eat a new food. Like, try some sushi. Come on, man. Just try one thing. Try what? Step outside your comfort zone for a half a second. That's what we're talking about. If you ask every single season ticket member who buys a ticket for the Chiefs, I will just guarantee you without doing the study that they're going to choose to renovate Arrowhead. I'll just tell you right now. You don't have to do the study. That's what they're going to say. And if you ask them that 100 years from now, they're also going to say renovate Arrowhead. And if you ask them 200 years from now, they're going to always, always say 5, 10, 15 years from now. That's always going to be the majority opinion. They'll be fine with the other just as long as it hits right, you know, like, or they grow accustomed to it or get used to it. I just can't believe it took this long to do a viability study. That should have been day one stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just convinced that they just thought, like, they'll just approve it and it's fine.
Yeah, I think being able to include people's opinions, because somebody texted in, they need parking garages. Maybe that would have been something in the focus groups, like, hey, forget the whole walkway thing and all that other stuff. We need parking garages. You want to renovate Arrowhead? Put a couple parking garages there where the K used to be. Like, anything that can help you. Sometimes, you know, you get in your own way in a way where or you assume and you don't want other people's opinion because you think it's fine. I think that's maybe what happened here, where having the focus groups can help you enhance your opinion and then bringing it to everybody else, and it makes it a little bit easier and maybe nicer as well for the people who are going to be voting on the stadium that they're going to be going to for the future.
From the 913, Cody can't tell Alex to step outside his comfort zone. You don't go to the strip club, pay off your debt. First, Alex changed the term of my bet.
He did.
I did not offer. He offered to change the terms. I am no longer obligated to go there.
You can blame Gold for that.
I am obligated to get a tattoo that is Chiefs-themed if they go undefeated. So you are a big Chiefs fan this weekend.
And even if they don't go undefeated, you still don't have to go because of the bet being changed.
Correct. So I'm off the hook there. Also, I've been to one. That was the whole point. I once went almost exactly 1 year ago today after an event that I do pretty regularly. I went spur of the moment with some friends of my wife. And I thought that was going to let me off the hook. But then Alex later had said, no, it had to include us.
He wanted to be there to witness
it. And I didn't realize that. And then the idea of going again was really disconcerting and I didn't like it. And so, like, eventually so I've been, I've experienced new things. I didn't like it. I'm willing to try new things.
Mm.
Unlike, apparently, you know, some people who just want all the stadiums to stay the same, which is fine if that's what you'd prefer. When we come back here on Cody and Gold, Joshua Briscoe, he's our Chiefs contributor. He'll join us next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.